everlasting God and Father of my Lord Christ, grant me thy grace in these days. Italy is plunged in darkness, and it's so thick it may be felt. No one here knows anything of Christ or of what belongs to him. Yet they are my lords and my masters in faith and morals. Thou hast graciously protected me thus far.
My friends in Augsburg, who insisted that I obtain a safe conduct before going to trial, appealed for it on my behalf to the imperial counselors. The emperor himself was consulted, and even the cardinal, who was to officiate at the examination, had asked for assurance that no harm would come to me. Through their determined efforts, I was granted safe conduct. The cardinal's representative became furious at their success, as he'd been commissioned to get me to the hearing without publicity. But the safe conduct meant nothing to me. I knew how easily it could be set aside. I cared only that whatever happened to me, my friends would continue in the teachings of the Word of God.
What, Ormolein? I have seen you take out that same letter from your vault and read it over and over. This is not like you to be away from your Greek so long. Yes, you have been walking up and down in the garden since last this morning.
The letter is from Martin. You may read it.
Show yourself a man as you do at all times. Teach our beloved youth what is upright and acceptable to God. As for me, I am going to be sacrificed for you and for them, if such is the Lord's will.
Oh, Martin. Martin, if I could only be with you in Augsburg.
I would rather die, and even which would be my greater misfortune, be forever deprived of your sweet society than retract what I felt it my duty to teach, and thus ruin perhaps by my own fault the excellent studies to which we are now devoting ourselves. Do your duty to God, my dear Philip, and please him by pure and fervent prayer. Thank you, brother, for letting me read this. You have the love of our great source.
I know. I know. If I could only be with you.
To come, Dr. Stealthy. I knew you would have some news of Martin.
Surely you did not think I would refuse an invitation from my lector.
These are grave days for the Augustinians at Wittenberg. I would not have compelled you to come, my friend.
I thank God for your sympathy to us and your understanding of the true word of God.
And I have God and Martin Luther to thank for that. Come, Doctor, if you are done eating, let us retire to the drawing room. We can talk more comfortably there. I have heard such conflicting reports of what is to go on in Augsburg, Doctor. Some say that the Cardinal is well disposed to Martin, and that Martin will have a fair hearing. But many say that he has been condemned as a heretic without even being heard yet, and that the cardinal already has orders to send Martin to Rome. I want you to tell me what his chances for an honest hearing really are.
Do you know much about the cardinal?
Not really. Sit down, please. I know he is a great scholar, and before his appointment as cardinal was general of his Dominican order.
He has become a great defender of the doctrines of Thomas Aquinas.
And you think that he feels Martin is opposing the theology of Thomas Aquinas?
Exactly.
It's true. Martin opposes any authority that differs from the scripture.
And you can imagine how displeased the cardinal will be when Martin will not listen to arguments from St. Thomas.
Then the cardinal is already angry at Martin.
His personal feelings would not mean a great deal alone. I have heard that his instructions from the Pope are that Martin is to be prosecuted and kept in safe custody for trial in Rome if he will not take back what he has taught. Rome has already declared him a heretic. And all that Augsburg is designed to do is to give Martin a chance to recant.
It is grotesque.
You must not blame the cardinal too much. He follows orders. You know, he too has been known to seek for a reformation within the church. But the difference between him and Martin is that the cardinal cannot free himself from the authority of the church and the tradition.
Yes, yes.
Martin would condemn men, angels, holy orders, cardinals, popes, and the whole church all at once in order to preach what he knows is the truth of God. He's been like that ever since he became convinced that man is justified by faith.
I would do anything to help Martin, but maybe we are troubled by what is too high for us. Perhaps we are like children, crying because we cannot do our father's work.
Thank you, Elector, for that reminder. The matter is in God's hands.
Approaching the cardinal's chair. Which one is the monk Luther?
Wait and see your monk skull. Only Luther is speaking.
It's not fair of you to be so rude. I have been waiting all morning for a good spot in court just to see the monk. And now that he has come, I don't know which one he is. You know, you just won't tell me.
Be quiet.
Most worthy father, in obedience to the summons of his papal holiness, and in compliance with the orders of my gracious lord, the Elector of Saxony, I appear before you as a submissive and dutiful son of the Holy Christian Church, and acknowledge that I have published the propositions and thesis ascribed to me. I am ready to listen most obediently to my accusation, and if I have erred, to submit to instruction in the truth.
My dear son, we are delighted with the humble and obedient spirit which you have exhibited. But you have disturbed all Germany by your dispute on indulgences. I understand that you are a very learned doctor in the Holy Scriptures, and that you have many followers. For this reason, if you desire to be a member of the Church and to find gracious Father in the Pope, please listen to me.
What a waste of time. Nothing exciting is going to happen. Luther is going to recant. I'm going to step up.
Go ahead. But don't expect me to tell you about it later.
I can stay if I want.
Here are three articles which, by the command of our Holy Father, Pope Leo X, I've set before you. First, you must retract your errors. Secondly, you must promise to abstain in the future from propagating your opinions. And thirdly, you must promise to behave with much greater moderation and avoid anything that may grieve or disturb the church.
Most holy father, I beg you to show me the Pope's order, by virtue of which you have received full powers to treat of this matter.
Order, he wants to see. Already declares him heretical and orders him to Rome. Let's see if the cardinal will allow it.
Quiet, the cardinal is speaking.
This request, my dear son, cannot be granted. You must confess your errors. Keep a strict watch on your words for the future and not return like a dog to his vomit, so that we may sleep without anxiety or disturbance.
Condescend then to inform me in what I have erred.
Very well, my little monk. I will show you your errors. And in confuting them, I will not appeal to the authority of St. Thomas and other doctors of the schools. I will rely entirely on Scripture and talk with you in all friendliness. I, too, am a student of the Scriptures, Dr. Luther.
I thank God for your learning, esteemed Father. Let us begin with the proposition to the papal constitution in favor of indulgence.
And as well as Pope Clement, this is the opinion of many of the church fathers.
I cannot receive men's opinions as sufficient proofs on matters so important, for they pervert holy scriptures and never exalt them to the purpose.
The Pope has power and authority over all things.
Except scripture.
Except scripture. The Pope is above all councils.
Well, we are disagreed about insulting. Let us turn our discussion to what I have thought about the holy scriptures. Namely, that before they have any value to the partaker must first exercise faith. The sacraments are worthless to help the souls of men unless faith is in the hearts of those men who take the sacraments.
We did not come here to dispute with you. Retract or prepare to suffer the penalty you've deserved.
There is no more to be said. I will answer the charges I've received today in writing.
Would you like us to give you a safe conduct to go to Rome with this dispute?
Thank you, worthy father. But I do not wish the kindness.
Then we shall notify you when we will see you a second time.
Forgive me, Van Stoppet. It's strange to hear you.
That's so great. I am so glad to see you.
Oh, Martin, you were so long I thought they had sentenced you to prison.
Oh, it was impossible to obtain an answer to make Sergio. The Cardinal kept insisting that I recant. Yet he did not seriously try to convince me that my teaching was against the word of God.
It is all as I feared. Martin, we must think out carefully what you are to do. My dear brother, bear constantly in mind that you have begun these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must carry on carefully.
You are right. What advice did you come to bring me?
You must positively reply to the Cardinal in writing. This way, at least, others will be able to judge the matter. I do not think you will get a second interview with the Cardinal.
I told him I would write him my reply.
Oh, that was wise, my impulsive brother. And I must ask you to listen to a grievous proposal.
Oh, nothing is grievous to me anymore, stop it. I've lost everything already.
You will have.
What do you mean?
Dear Martin, you have been a brother and a son to me. Now I'm going to release you from the Augustinian order.
Why?
You must believe that it is for your sake as well as ours.
Go on.
I am afraid the Cardinal is going to order me to force you to be silent or retract. If you're no longer an Augustinian, I will no longer have authority over you.
And my condemnation would disgrace the whole Augustinian order, would it not? I should be sorry for that. If I have been in the order so long, I promised God that I would serve him in the convent as long as I lived. Suddenly, I feel so alone.
Martin, don't. You have many friends. The Augustinian brothers are your closest.
What about my future? What may I do?
You remain a priest, Martin. Your authority will be unchanged.
My old friend, it has been hard for you, too. Let us retire to our rooms. I am so tired. You must be, too.
I am. But later we must talk again. There is a new adversary in our battle.
really must have a little more wine.
Well, hand me your glass.
I do not think I have recovered yet from the terrible day we had at court yesterday. Ah, thank you, cousin. You are so robust.
If you were not my cousin, Heinrich, I should find your company obnoxious. No doubt Cardinal de Vio would find your horror of Luther praiseworthy, but I, for one, wish you would increase your stamina or stay home from court.
How can you talk to me so harshly when you know I am sick?
My pardon.
Oh, I shall never forget the shock on the cardinal's face when that monk walked right out of court, right in the middle of a dispute yesterday. It was insufferable of him.
I thought it was perfect. Hmm? Retract or return no more. So, the lowly monk bowed, turned on his heels, and left the hall.
What are you saying?
What I mean. And it served your precious cardinal right. He wouldn't let Luther get a word in without interrupting him.
Oh, why do you always have to torment me?
Heinrich, this court is so used to indolence and deceit, accustomed to tricks and traps, that we are helpless before an honest man's charges.
I do not understand you. I do not understand you.
I'm sure you don't. What miserable cheats we are to pretend that this is a fair dispute. Everyone but the monk knows that it's all a sham. Well, he's no fool. I'm sure that yesterday was the third and last meeting of the Cardinal and Luther. I hope he leaves Augsburg directly before worse treachery comes to him.
I wish you would talk about something else. My head aches.
Well, my heart aches. Off with then, cousin.
Where are you going? Carl! Cousin!
Perhaps to Wittenberg with the monk. Tell the Cardinal.
The Cardinal has been waiting to see you since dinner, Dr. Stopfit.
I am truly sorry to have kept His Holiness waiting, but I did not receive his message until a short time ago.
He will understand. Your Excellency, Dr. Stopfit is here.
Please come in, Dr. Stopfit.
Welcome, dear doctor. No, do not kneel. You're an old man and a dear son. Be seated.
Thank you, worthy father.
You must have already assumed that I have summoned you about your monk Luther.
Yeah.
I know you've released him from his Augustinian vows, but your influence over him is mighty. How good it is that such a impetuous man has so pious a friend. Dr. Staupitz, prevail upon him. Induce him to retract. Really, in other respects, I'm well pleased with him. He has no better friend than myself.
I have already done so, and I will advise him to submit to the church in all humility.
You will have to reply to his arguments he derives from Holy Scriptures.
I must confess, my lord, that is a task beyond my ability. Dr. Luther is superior to me both in genius and in knowledge of the Holy Scriptures.
Are you aware that as a Protestant of a heretical doctrine, you are yourself liable to the penalties of the church?
If, worthy father, you would resume conference with Luther and an order of a public discussion of the controversial points, perhaps it would be more clear as to exactly what is heretical.
No, I will no longer dispute with him. Take care for yourself, Doctor, what you say to the Pope's representative.
I am your servant, Father, as I am Christ's. I shall try to induce Luther to submit to the church. But, Father, I beg you to transmit to Luther in writing what it is that he is required to retract.
Very well, Dr. Stopfitz. You sing the same song as Luther does. Except that you are an obedient son of the church.
I am, Father, and want always to be. I shall entreat Martin to submit to the church.
Martin.
Philip, my cautious, quiet good worm. Can it be that you are running and out of breath? What has happened? I fear the devil is after you.
Just all you like. It is wonderful that you are here. Brother Christopher woke me up with the news that you had arrived in Wittenberg in the dead of last night.
Did he tell you he is the first doorkeeper I ever had to bellow for an hour to wake up? If it had not been for his snores, I would have thought the door unattended and been reconciled to spending a night in the garden.
You look tender, Martin.
Well, it is hard work to rouse that brother.
Oh, Martin, tell me about Augsburg. Staupitz gave us all the happenings of your third conference with the Cardinal when he left. Did the Veer send you the doctrines you are to recant?
No. I waited as long as I could for them. Then I sent Link to His Excellency in asking for them. The Veer told Brother Link that he no longer regarded me as a heretic and that unless he received other orders from Rome, he would not excommunicate me. He said if I would only retract what concerns indulgences, the matter would soon be finished. No documents came back with Link.
Did he really mean what he said?
Staupitz told Brother Link that he should have asked the Cardinal to put it in writing.
I suppose you did not get to debate at all.
The Cardinal would not allow me to dispute, publicly or privately. He kept saying that he desired to be a father to me, not a judge. But what he really wanted was to hear one thing from me. I retract and acknowledge my error. Oh, Philip, I cannot lie against the truth.
What did he do when all of your conferences at court came to a deadlock?
Well, he has written the Pope, for one thing. And he sent for Staupitz and ordered him to try to persuade me to recant.
Oh, poor Dr. Staupitz. What did he do?
What he was told.
You do not mean that he seriously tried to influence you to compromise.
He has been a faithful monk for a long time, Philip. And he will die an obedient son of the church. It is good. Wars are not for all men.
You ought to appeal to the Pope. The Veer will excommunicate you, and then it will be too late.
Well, the last thing I did before leaving Augsburg was to write to the Holy Father. I sent a letter to the prior of Palmsfall. At the same time, I wrote the Cardinal that I was referring all this unsettled business to the Pope in order that the church may decide, pronounce, and ordain.
I am surprised that the Veer permitted you to leave Augsburg.
Well, he would have had to shout louder than the archangel for me to have to herd him on the road to Wittenberg.
You did not leave without his permission.
It was a very organized plan. Staupitz had left me a pony, and a brother brought it around to the convent door at night. The city magistrate sent me a guide, and one of the city councilors ordered that a gate be opened for me. So I rode out. Without bridle, without boots, without spurs. Without permission.
Martin!
Philip!
Oh, it is not only offending the Cardinal. What if something had happened to you on the way back? Robbers or...
Oh, Philip, as I passed through the village and rural districts, inhaling the fragrant breezes, I felt free and safe for the first time since I arrived at Augsburg.
I am surprised that Augsburg was not hot on your heels.
David's words came back to me again and again as I rode along. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped.
Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth.
You black beast. You'd better run if you know what's coming to you. Oh, no, you need not waggle your tail around me. Get away, I say, get.
The sausages are fresh today, Herr Brueggemann. That one is 10 pfennig.
You are not busy today, Mother?
No, it is late. We are packing up soon. The market has been slow all day, and I am freezing.
I will take these two.
Certainly, thank you. I'll just put some string around them for you. Have you been ill, Herr Brueggemann?
No, indeed. I've been to see my new grandson in Augsburg.
How is the little child?
All I saw of him is the healthiest mite I ever saw. Luther was in Augsburg. The time I was there, I was out to the Cardinal's embassy every day, trying to get a glimpse of him.
How is it going with you?
It's going to be all right. No thanks to the Cardinal.
What do you mean he is going to be... Hey! Get out of there! Oh, that dog! I told my husband I would drown him. You were saying Luther would be all right?
I believe he will be safe, for a time at least.
My son says the Pope has already sent an envoy to seize him and deliver him to Rome. He will be burned there.
Nonsense. If all Rome had to worry about was an honest monk, then Luther would be in danger. The Holy Roman Empire is in troubled times. This will save him.
You mean because of the death of our emperor?
Oh, partly. Who's to be our next king concerns the Pope far more than his quarrels with Luther.
It is good that Luther the Elector Frederick is the temporary administrator of Germany until the new king is decided upon. My son says Frederick has always tried to protect Luther.
It certainly is good.
Do you think if Pope Leo asked for Luther, Frederick would hand him over?
Never fear. The Pope won't ask for Luther as long as Frederick's in power. He can't afford to displease him.
Ah, these are such bad times. My son says many of the German princes are fighting one another.
In some of the territories, the bishops are enlisting peasants to fight against the princes of their confederations. The conflict over which is supreme, the church or the king, it grows worse.
It is dreadful. But if all the troubles make it safe for Martin Luther, then we should say a few glorious verdades.
We should, Mother. See, it's beginning to snow. I must be going home. Thank you for the sausages.
Thank you for the news. And Herr Brueggemann, if you should see our black dog on the road, give him a kick back to the market, will you?
I gave orders that I was not to be disturbed.
Oh, Martin, I have news from Rome.
Elector, I cannot help feeling that it is disgraceful that Rome should set so high a value upon me. They would give a heap of crowns to have me in their clutches. While our Lord Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver.
You promised the Cardinal that you would submit to the decisions of the Roman Church?
Yeah.
The Pope has caused a declaration to be published in Germany, which confirms the doctrines of indulgences. There is no mention of you in the communique.
Confirming indulgences. It is incredible.
All the crying abuses that infect our fatherland are legalized.
I cannot submit to this. I never dreamed the Holy Father would do such a thing. Thank God I appealed.
You what?
Well, my appeal to Rome accomplished nothing. So on November 28th, from the chapel of Corpus Christi at Wittenberg, I appealed from the Pope to a general council of the church. So many churchmen are against the corruption in the church. I know if we can have a council, I would have many supporters.
Martin, do you realize what you are doing?
I think so.
You are putting the matter before the whole Church of Christ. It will no longer be your conscience against Rome, but your quarrel will become a matter of conscience to every living Catholic. Every man will have to decide himself whether the truth of the gospel lies with Rome or with Luther.
With Rome or with the Word of God.
Martin.
Yeah?
Martin, excuse me for interrupting your reading, but Dr. Stoppitz is here. I told him you had finished teaching for today and for in the study. He's coming here to talk with you.
Thank you, Philip. I wonder what brings him to the university.
Oh, perhaps nothing significant. He's making the rounds of the convents. And I suppose he would not leave Wittenberg without a visit here.
He has ate so much in these last few...
Oh, Martin. Then are we going to have some spring weather?
Oh, it is cold for traveling, my friend. Come over by the fire and get warm.
Heat like this might thaw the frost out of my hair.
Your hair? The fire will not attempt, but the sun failed to do last summer, Dr. Stoppitz. Well, sir, if you will, excuse me.
Please stay, Dr. Melanchthon. If you are able, What news I have would interest you as well as Martin.
Yeah, it is about John Ash.
You know, then, that he wants to debate with you.
I know he began a dispute with our brother Karlstad after Karlstad defended my position in some thesis. He has challenged him to debate on the doctrine of grace at Leipzig.
But we all think he is hoping that Martin will go with Karlstad. It is Martin he really wants.
Oh, it is impossible. Karlstad is well capable of debating the deck. I would not interfere.
I wonder if you'd be allowed to. Leipzig is Duke George's territory, and I doubt if he would give you permission to enter his domain. He is determined to have peace. I wish you could go, though.
Why?
Because of this dissertation. Here, Martin, glance at
it. Is it something Eck has written, Dr. Stoppitz?
It is. 13 theses attacking Martin's chief doctrine.
One cannot help admire Eck's scholarship.
Yeah. And he is sincere in his attachment to the papacy.
Oh, but how many enemies we have made. Martin told me that Eck is an old friend of his.
Wait till you read his thesis. You soon will see how much Eck is opposed to our position.